Aaron, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. You know, I've seen better days. I got a bit of a headache. Not feeling great, but happy to be here with you a little bit.
You be a little bit more positive?
Yeah, well, actually, I'm just going to tell you the truth, Dan. I really don't want to be here, and I don't like the way you're wearing your hat, and your shirt looks old, and your beard looks scruffy, and I don't like the shape of your nose. I'm being honest.
Anything else? Is that it?
That's it.
The shape of my nose. That's an odd thing.
I'm kidding.
That's an odd thing for you to be contemplating. Well, I'm posting my photo on the about page week. So
I'm
everybody's
sure going to
see that I have a very normal nose.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyhow, anything else you dislike?
No. Not right now. But
okay. Are you ready to turn it up a little bit and come a little bit more positive?
Let's talk a little bit.
Okay, let's talk. Well, let's start off about positivity because that's the first topic of the core audio.
Right.
And it was people who did, you know, crazy positive things, saying yes to everything.
Right.
But what do you think about that idea of just doing a mini experiment and trying to be more positive about everything in your life?
I think that might be really good for certain people, especially people who suffer from negativity or who tend to look at things in a negative way. It might be an antidote to those states of mind that a lot of people carry around with them.
What about if you're not a negative? Like, I think I'm a pretty positive person. I think you're a pretty positive person.
Oh, I would say I'm definitely a positive
person. But even for positive people, you think there's something that we can learn from doing a crazy 24-hour saying yes to everything?
I suppose. I have no desire to do that. Because I say yes too much anyway, probably.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, it sounds crazy, but I just think it's interesting that these people, that all these good things came to these people by, you know, of course, a lot of bad things, but they had all these new opportunities that maybe they never would have experienced if they weren't being extremely wildly positive.
That's right. Is that something that you would be interested in trying for
a
short period?
Not really.
Well, there is a movie about that, right?
The Jim Carrey movie. The Jim Carrey movie. Yes Man.
That's called Yes Man.
Yes Man.
And he says yes to everything, and he has this wild adventure.
Yeah, right? By being so positive, some bad things happen, but he meets like a new girlfriend, takes trips. He has adventures. He gets a raise in his job. He gets a promotion.
Oh, there you go.
But of course in the end it doesn't completely work out for him and he's got to drop it. But having that period in his life was a good learning experience for him.
I know a guy who said that he benefited greatly, from saying yes. He's a guy, who early in his career, I mean, he's an older man, he's in his 60s now, but early in his career, he said yes to every opportunity that came by. Even if it meant, you know, working many hours for free or doing whatever it was, he was just really into helping people and taking advantage of every single opportunity that came his way. He ended up being a very successful man in his field, but now he says no quite a bit.
Yeah, I think that's very good advice for anybody who's young and starting out.
Yeah.
Be seeking to give more than you take.
Yeah.
And good things will come to you.
Yeah, I believe in that. I firmly believe in that, yeah.
But then you come to a certain point in your life, and you got limited time and limited energy, and you got to start shutting down the gates.
I suppose.
Saying no.
I don't know. Shutting down the gates and saying no. I don't know. That sounds a little extreme, Dan.
Sounds a little negative. I'm just playing devil's advocate.
But actually, the title of that movie is Yes Man, and it's about a guy who says yes to everything. But that phrase, Yes Man, actually has another meaning.
Right. It's a negative derogatory term for somebody who doesn't think independently. They just want to be a butt kisser.
Exactly. They want to get by. Their method of achieving success is to just say yes to whatever the boss, the person in power, is telling them to do. And at least in our culture, that's seen as a very negative thing. If someone calls you a yes man, it's not a nice thing to be called.
I completely agree. You're very brilliant, Aaron.
Well, thank you.
The way you said that was wonderful.
Case in point.
The obsequious yes man.
That's right, yeah. Have you ever been called a yes man?
No. But I'm sure I have been.
Oh, right, behind your back or something. Yeah. I'm sure I've been called yes man before. Yeah.
That's not what I was going to say. Now it makes me feel that you're calling me a yes man.
Well, I may be behind your back. How rude. You know, wouldn't tell you.
How rude. All right. Well, let's move on. What's behind people who say yes too much?
I can tell you because I think I'm one of those people.
Okay.
I think I say yes far too much for my own good.
Uh-huh.
It tends to get me into a little bit of trouble because I tend to be overextended. I take on too many things.
Yeah.
And I think one of the reasons is I deep down, I really want to help people.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think that I just enjoy doing things. I enjoy helping people. I enjoy working on stuff. And there may also be something about wanting to be liked, not wanting to disappoint people, not wanting to cause confrontation, but rather to avoid confrontation. That might be another reason that people would say yes.
Everybody wants to be liked.
Disappoint people. They don't want to come up in confrontation. So it's easier to say, oh, yeah, sure, I'll do that, rather than say no and disappoint someone. So that could be also part of it.
Yeah, actually, yeah. You know, I said everybody wants to be liked, but that's not true.
Well, that's,
some
yeah,
people don't care at all.
Right.
Like psychopaths.
Right.
who often become very high up in companies a lot, you know, preponderance of CEOs.
That's
something
true.
Like,
I've read that.
Like twice the average amount is, you know, they say like 5% of the population have psychopathic tendencies.
Yeah.
Which doesn't mean that they're going to go kill somebody, but they just don't have empathy for other people.
Right.
And maybe like double the amount, maybe 10% of CEOs have psychopathic tendencies.
Wow.
So yeah, I imagine most psychopaths don't really care. How other people think about them.
It could be. Yeah.
So, you know, I think those are all some of the reasons, you know, and the people say yes, they just are positive and they want to help people.
Right.
And also they want to be liked. And, but you know, one other reason that some people say yes a lot is they have, what's called fear of missing out. F-O-M-O.
Right. That was in the core audio.
Well,
right.
No, it wasn't.
Oh, it wasn't.
I took it out cause it was getting a little long.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about it. What is it?
Fear of missing out is exactly that. It's people who are constantly worried that there's something else exciting happening that they're not a part of.
Right.
So it leads them to say yes all the time.
They don't want to miss anything.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
Oh, interesting.
But it actually ends up meaning that they miss everything because they're constantly thinking about what's happening somewhere else. So even when they're, you know, with their family or they're watching some great show, they're always thinking what else they could be doing.
Right. Right. Wow.
And I don't think I have fear of missing out syndrome, I have had the feeling, you know, when you're in a conversation with somebody and you really don't want to be in a conversation, and your consciousness starts going to other people in the room, like, I wonder what's going on over there.
That happens to me when I talk with you. I don't know why that is, Dan.
All right, that's very rude. That's the second
I'm just
time.
Being honest.
Well, that's the next topic, being rude.
Well, yeah, right, right. Well, that is the next topic.
And
but also,
honest.
I want to, before we get on to that, I want to talk a little bit about the polar opposite of saying yes, which is saying no. Because
right.
There's a lot of, we hear this phrase quite a bit, the power of no.
Right.
And how no can actually be very liberating to allow you the space and the time and the energy to do the things you really want to be doing rather than doing the things that other people want you to do. And this is something that I am starting to work with more and more, is learning how to say no in order to focus on what's important to me. So I think there's some value in that.
And how's that working out for
it's
you?
It's not working out very well. Not yet, anyway. I got a long way to go on that. But, I mean, I think one of the main reasons is, like, I don't want to disappoint people. I want to help people.
Right.
And people, they want help.
Right.
They need help. It's like, yeah, sure, I'll do whatever I can. And it's not always the best thing for me and my family.
So if all of our listeners were to email you and ask if they could stay at your house for just a couple months, that would be a yes, right?
That would be my tendency to say yes.
Right.
Yeah, I think I'd have to think about that one pretty
closely. Okay, well, you heard it here. This is pretty much an open invitation.
No, but I think for me, moving on, like the most interesting part of this lesson this month is about radical honesty, about that guy who made this practice of being radically honest, to say yes when he meant yes and no when he meant no. And I just thought that was a really interesting topic.
Right.
Yeah. Because I think the thing that interests me about it is the fact that if you look at all the teachings of major religions, one of the basic tenets in all of them is not to lie, to tell the truth, to be honest. And in doing that, you know, you become closer to God or you become more peaceful or whatever it is. And it kind of makes me wonder, like, to what extent is being radically honest leading you toward, you know, greater peace or peace of mind or whatever it is. I don't know. I saw a movie just recently called Interstellar. Have you heard of it?
No.
It's an excellent movie. Excellent movie. Highly recommended. Anyway, in the movie, it takes place in the future, and it involves, you know, traveling through space. And they have these robots that are programmed to help people in their journeys through space. And the robots are programmed to be 90% honest. Uh-huh. And in the movie, one of the main characters asked the robot, like, why is that? And the robot said, well, with 90% honesty, it's much easier to deal with emotional beings.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that's interesting. And it made me reflect, wow, you know, to what extent am I honest? Am I 90% honest? Am I 95% honest? You know, like, it's hard to go through a day being completely honest.
You know, but we're judiciously honest or dishonest. Like, were these, I'm just curious, were these robots just randomly 10% dishonest?
I don't know. See, that I don't know. Okay. Yeah. I just remembered that detail.
Okay. Well, I think you should figure that out before you bring it up. I'm just being honest. It really annoys me.
Actually, I didn't even think of that. I was just thinking about the fact that they were sometimes not on. They would have to be judiciously.
Right. It would be silly because they're programmed to be that.
Yeah, because otherwise they would just anger people.
Right.
Yeah. Which is crazy. It like makes you think like all these religions are telling you to be honest and not lie. But does it really bring peace if I go around telling people what I really think? Is that going to bring, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, the Jacob story is that, you know, he's being honest in all these situations where he would normally tell a white lie.
Right.
And, you know, we all tell white lies. We all tell lies that are designed to protect people's feelings or help interactions go more smoothly. And, you know, a white lie means it's not hurting anyone.
That's right.
So, yeah, I'm sure we all tell white lies every day.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think it's a social norm tell white lies.
Does it make you more spiritual to say whatever pops into your head?
No, I think the phrase my mother always used to say to me would come to mind, Aaron, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Uh-huh. Did your mother ever tell you that or your parents or
teachers? I think my parents said
that. My mother always used to say that. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Just be silent.
Right.
Yeah. So it's kind of, it's like, don't upset people.
I think my parents went beyond that.
Oh, really?
To actually telling me in certain situations.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't say lie, but that's kind of like, they would tell me like, you show appreciation when somebody does something to you.
Yeah,
that was
exactly.
Something that my parents said a lot to me. And it was like, there was obviously something behind that. Even if you get like, you know, the pair of socks from your aunt.
Right.
You like write her a letter and tell her how much you like those socks.
Right. And had to do the same thing. Underwear at Christmas or whatever.
Yeah. And that's something that stuck with me. And I think that's really important, showing appreciation.
Mm-hmm. Even when you don't feel appreciation?
Well, I guess what my parents were teaching me was that, you know, you should appreciate the energy that somebody was putting out to you.
Right.
And so I guess in that way, it's not really a lie.
No.
But certainly sometimes there are things that I guess in situations where you really don't appreciate it, maybe it would be better to be radically honest.
Maybe.
But how far do you go?
Yeah, where do you draw the line?
Like I was reading about this psychologist, Richard Blanton, and he feels that... you know, it's everything, like down to even farting. He feels you've got to project your farts or you're being dishonest.
What? Are you kidding me?
No, that's true.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I don't get it. I don't. Why would farting have anything to do with honesty?
Well, I mean, this guy Jacobs, he writes about the one cheek sneak.
Uh-huh.
which is, you know, make farting silently.
Yeah.
And Blanton feels very strongly that that's lying. If you got a fart, you project it.
That's insane. I disagree. I don't think it has anything to do with honesty. It has to do with just being polite and considerate about it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the polite thing would be to go to another room.
Well, yeah, yeah.
But right, I mean, right. If you're just, you know, being deceptive.
Oh, boy.
So... Which of these three approaches most resonates with you?
It's hard to say. I mean, I think a balance of them. I mean, honestly, the balance. I need to say no more in my life. So, I mean, I think that is more attractive than the yes approach. And I think I'm a pretty honest guy. I mean, I try and practice honesty in my daily life. But yeah, I tell white lies as a social convention. I tell them to my children. I told them when they were younger that Santa Claus is coming to, you know, give them presents under the tree. And, you know, that's what a lot of American families do.
Yeah, what
and,
about you know, that? Like, is there something sick about that? Like,
well,
lying
you know,
to your kids?
People talk about that. I mean, it's... In one way, you're sending them a mixed message. You tell them you should always tell the truth. You shouldn't lie. And then yet you're lying about something, but the intention behind it is not malevolent. The intention is to create joy and happiness and fun in the child's life. I mean, I think intention has to be brought into the equation when you're talking about.
Right. I mean, if you're lying to hurt somebody, but right. You know, no, I mean, the whole idea behind lying about Santa Claus is you're trying to create some magic in their life.
Yeah.
And make things more exciting for them as children, and you know.
And if someone is works really hard and they're really proud of something that they did, and you may feel like, let's say they write a poem or they draw a picture, and it looks not so nice, and they say, "Oh, you know, like look what I've done." I've and it's like, yeah, it's not bad. That's pretty good. You know, you want to encourage them to keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Deep down, you might be thinking it doesn't look so good, but that would just harm their motivation to say that.
Right. But is there a certain age where you got to say, "Hey, that drawing stinks. Maybe you should be doing something else."
Oh, I think there's a certain context.
Oh.
I don't know about age. I don't know if it's age specific, but I think if you really see someone who wants to become good at something and a professional at something, that's when you step in and say, "Look, like." You know, when you were a kid, it was okay, but now, like, that's no good.
Well, the reason, what made me think about it was I listened to this podcast with this guy recounting what lengths his family went to create the magic of Christmas and these magical beings like Santa Claus and the elves. Yeah. And I think like two or three times when he was a kid, they staged a Santa Claus crash.
Whoa.
Like near their house.
Really?
And they hired like maybe like some distant relative to dress up like Santa Claus and to be like wandering in the woods. And
Whoa.
Then they found him.
That's taking it overboard.
And they made it logically sound. They made a world. They told the kids that there wasn't just one Santa Claus. There were many, and each one had its own district to handle. They all lived in the North Pole.
Oh,
but
wow.
they came up with something logical that made sense to these kids. Yeah. And they did that two or three times. They had these, you know, these Santa Claus clones crash like in their area, and they brought them home and they talked to him about like, you know, what life is like in the North Pole and the elves and
oh wow.
And anyhow, they kept telling that to one of the kids until he was believing until he was 12 years old.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, 12 years old, he's in sixth grade in elementary school, and he started getting into fights with other kids at school because they were calling him an idiot. You know, like, are you an idiot? There's no Santa Claus. Like, how old are you?
Like, get over
and
it.
And he was
already,
like,
right?
Not only is there a Santa Claus, I met him.
Yeah.
And like dead serious,
no. Yeah,
angry.
See, now the parents are really creating problems.
And, you know, then the teacher teacher called the parents and said, can you just tell him, you know, I don't know what kind of crazy thing you got going on in your house, but can you tell him not to talk about Santa Claus in school? It's disruptive. And then eventually he found out at like 12 or 13, and he was humiliated.
Really? When he found out the truth?
Yes, he felt like such an idiot. Can you imagine?
Right,
it, you know? Yeah. And up until he was like 30, he was holding anger towards his parents. They were interviewing him. He's in his 30s. He says, like, I'm not angry anymore, but it's just so crazy. Yeah, why would you do that? Go to those lengths to like deceive someone. So,
yeah, that's pretty far out.
Yeah. So anyhow, let's leave it here. I think this is the end.
Okay. So, from here on in, I'm going to start saying no a little bit more.
Okay.
And you're going to,
I am going to say yes more often. I think that's what I'm going to experiment with. I'm a pretty positive person, but I think we can all learn something by just experimenting for, you know, a short period of time. I think that's what I'm going to do tomorrow. The next 24 hours, I'm going to try to say, I'm not going to say yes to my spam.
Okay.
But I'm going to say yes to anybody but you.
Oh, I was getting ready to ask you a question. Like,
I can see that look. I can see that look in your eyes. I'm not going to go crazy. Okay, I'll let you know how it goes.
All right, man.
All right.